This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com. I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times. Most of
DGS. Started the show with a thank you to Chef Liz at Tenacious Eats for making me the cherry pie. Thank you to Foley Dentistry in Maryville, Illinois. Got my daughter Phoebe in. Phoebe has a sinus infection, and she woke up with the worst thing. It was a toothache she's ever had. And Julia goes there, our lovely Julia Bears, and she was able to get us in. So thank you to Foley. Doc, appreciate it. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Dave.
I hear you won the 5K.
Oh, Amy did win.
She did?
Yeah, she won.
I saw it on Facebook, and she said that she broke the tape, and I thought, well, now I think that means that you win, but having never done that myself, I'm going to just, yes, then I'm assuming that's what happens.
I texted her last night to clarify, and she had won, and then she sent me her time, and I was like, I am not going to send back me and Susan.
No, you are not.
Was it delightful, though?
It was delightful.
It was fun.
It really was. The weather was fantastic. And they start you up on Market where you look down at the arch. Mm. And it's just a beautiful evening and trees. And I couldn't believe the amount of people that were there.
7,300.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looked nice and good that we had all those people downtown. It was fun.
It's good.
Yeah.
Emotionally damaging chicken nuggets.
Oh, yes. Let me get this story pulled up here. So this woman had hired a babysitter to watch her toddler, and she fed the babysitter decided to cook some vegetarian chicken nuggets for the child. And now the mother wants $600 due to emotional damage.
She had me there for a minute.
That was in. Emotional damage. Oh, to whom? The child or the mother?
Wow, I am fake news as usual. I read this totally wrong.
Uh-oh.
So actually, I might be on the mother's side. Yes, I'll let you guess.
She's a vegetarian.
Yes.
And she made chicken nuggets.
Yes, I read
it
wrong. I skimmed this morning. I'm like, this is the perfect DGS story. And then I did not look into it any further.
I love how Sue and I are ready to jump on the lady.
They hate her.
Nuggets.
Oh, well.
I mean, that would be kind of bad, like, if you were raising your child in a certain way, and then someone was like, well, here you go, here's poultry, which you don't eat. I mean, $600 seems kind of like a weird
figure.
Very specific.
Yes.
Almost like
specific.
She owes someone $600.
Yeah. That would check that box.
How do I get that $600?
She has a $600
car
bill.
Repair.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, we are just so emotionally damaged.
Back,
we need, I don't know, $600.
Back in the day when producer Tom was producing the show, he always had candy in his pockets for kids, which for anyone else it would be creepy, but for Tom it wasn't somehow. And we went to our boss's house for a Super Bowl party, and his two daughters, who were probably 3 and 5 back then, had never tasted sugar. Never tasted refined sugar.
Wow.
And before they could do anything, Tom had handed out a bunch of Pixie sticks and candy bars.
Man, that's like starting with the hard stuff.
It was like, Oklahoma! They were pretty pissed.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I bet the kids weren't, though.
Oh. The
kids were like, this is great. What can we do next?
Yeah, as soon as they peel them off the ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't remember that. I guess I didn't even know what hyper was back then. But I don't remember, because I ate nothing but sugar when I was a kid. I don't remember getting jacked up.
I don't either. I almost think it's an urban legend.
I've heard that too, that it doesn't actually really do. But then just anecdotally, I see it with my nieces. Like, we'll be having a party and they'll have the cake, and then suddenly they're just all over the place after they've had the sugar. So it's like,
Do you see the Planet Fitness thing?
I did, that they're raising their prices.
Yeah. So it's $10 a month. And they're raising it by 50%, so that'd be 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people are losing their mind because I guess Planet Fitness was known for this, and it's $10, and that's what it is. What's the Arizona tea that's never raised their price?
Yeah, 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 Arizona iced tea.
And so Planet Fitness said, like, hey, guys, like, we get it. We kept it the same for, like, 20 years, but our costs are going through the roof, and we have to do something.
It's still $15 a month to go as much as you want. That's a good deal.
Quite low. And the thing is, if you're locked in at the $10 rate, you're good until your contract is up. So it's not like they're springing it on a bunch of people now. It's for new users only at this point.
Think about how your streaming services change all the time. You don't get grandfathered in. Well, your agreement was for this. Like, nope, guess what? Next month, you get to pay more. Mm-hmm.
Curious what all of you think of this. Did you see the story about, I know that the expired plates downtown drive a lot of people crazy, and they have given up. The city has officially given up trying to write tickets. They have written thousands and thousands, and people just don't show up for court. They just don't pay them. They're not going to pay that sales tax. So what they did is they earmarked $350,000 to help people off their debts. So $350,000 from the budget, not from like the Rams money or something, just from the budget every year, I guess, to help people with expired plates to pay so that they can get back kosher.
And I'm sure they'll pay the city back immediately.
Yeah, it is a loan.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. If they're going to give you that money, but it's a loan, if you're not doing it now, why would you do it with a loan and pay that back? Clearly, no one cares enough to track these people down and to get them righted. So a loan for that is not going to help. I don't think it's, I just think it's poorly thought out. It's not going to work.
Yeah, no. I don't fully understand. I don't understand. So they're taking money and then paying themselves with it, essentially?
Basically.
And how are you going to distribute that? Based on what? If somebody hasn't paid their tag, you then send them loan money? What?
Or do they have to come in and apply? Say, hey, we want to register our car and that'll we want to qualify? Yeah, I know. Right,
exactly.
Right.
Well, the other like harsh truth is it's not that expensive to get your tags taken care of in this. Whenever I lived in Illinois, it was like $100, $150. Now it's like, now that I live in Missouri, it's like $45.
Yeah. But it's paying the sales tax that's the problem.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's what they're paying.
Right. And that's why the way we do things is stupid. When you're like, we will pay the personal property taxes later. No, pay it when you buy the car.
Correct.
That's what they do everywhere else. Every other place in the world does it that way.
They're going to do that, right?
It's in motion.
But the point is, we are paying the price for being dumb for however long.
Totally agree. True.
When I first moved here, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I got to do an extra step. I got to go like to my county.
No sense.
And why not just put it like tax, title, and license out the door? Boom. That's how it goes. And and then if you don't have cash, like a lot of people don't have
most
$2,000, whatever. It's just rolled into your car loan, which is unfortunate that you pay interest on it, but you can at least make your car payment.
But if you don't have the money, you don't have the money.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Kind of how credit cards work. How like anything works when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So we're paying the price for generations of being stupid about it.
You know what I was thinking about? I just happened to see an image of this, the inside of a library book. Where you write your name.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the magic of that?
Yeah.
Who had checked it out before you, when it's due?
Did you ever write fake names in there?
No.
No.
We did. Like, this one was read by Ben Franklin.
Oh, my gosh. The hilarity.
He's legit proud of that.
Hey, when you're 10, that's funny.
Do you remember getting, not a library book, but just like your normal books in school, and then you would have someone else's name written in there from the year before?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I would always want to get like my brother's book from 2 years before.
Because it wasn't used?
Right, yeah. Very pristine. No, it was just like, it was a small school, so it was kind of fun. Like, if you happened to get it, it was like,
smells new.
Yeah.
The spine still kind of like keeps the book closed.
So, Rach, you have 7 more years to be cool?
Yeah, because apparently, according to a new survey, 39 is the age where most people start to feel out of touch and uncool.
39.
Really?
Huh. Would you would have guessed earlier or later?
I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about like being quote unquote cool, but like being with like what's happening around you. I mean,
You think you're with it, Kevin?
No.
Saying?
No.
Matt, what do you think?
Hang on, he's got.
I feel that way now. I mean,
he's older than you and I, Dave, mentally
for sure.
Matt Podesky is a grown ass, like middle aged man, but he's 25.
He's our dad's friend, Matt.
He listens to the music that we listen to.
I know.
Growing up,
we're talking about Rush today.
I can't have conversations with my friends. The movies or TV shows I like. I mean, it's my fault.
Matt's like, hey, Dave, you like F Troop? What?
I was watching Bonanza the other day.
That Lorne Green, he runs a tight ship. Mannix! I love an old soul.
Yeah, Matt's cool. He's the best.
So when I was a lawyer, I was 25, 26. Senior partners were 45, 46, and they weren't old, like nursing home old, but they were old. They were like not even close to young. So what for you is kind of that cutoff?
Like what is old to me?
Yeah.
I feel like 60 because that's...
Thanks. That's the number I was looking for.
That is. Well, there you go.
Tell the old man what he's won.
I say that because that's how old my parents are. Your parents are always old, you know? But, like, you know, you're a cool 60-year-old where my parents are like, you know, they're cool, but, you know, they're not like Dave Glover riding a motorcycle cool, you know, and tattooed cool.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Good save.
That's a really good save. Yeah. That's a good point, though. I think that's the standard, isn't it?
It is.
Your parents tends to be like...
parents were older. They had me when they were almost 40.
Oh, wow.
So that was...
So yours is a little bit more down that road.
Does 60 daunt you?
No, I try not to... I guess I've decided that numbers are going to have to be irrelevant. Therefore,
I think 61 will do nothing to me. Like, when turning 50 was a thing, had a big party... And every birthday since then has been invisible, which is great, which is what I want to be. Huh. And I feel like 60 is going to pinch a little bit. But after that, you're like, well, what am I going to do?
I feel like the last one that actually mattered at all was 21.
Really?
Just because, you know, we can go to the bars now. Like, that, like there's no everything else is just the number.
Yeah.
There's no special privilege. Although maybe, I don't know, what's the right retirement age or whatever? Maybe that'll be like a new barrier.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, I could get Social Security right?
That's a really good point, is that we have grown up with people retiring at 62, 65.
Right.
If the new age is 70, 71, 72, like when Matt is closer to like my age, that'll be the new old.
Yeah. I think it's always like the privileges, because you think about birthdays, what matter? 16 always mattered because you can drive.
Yeah.
18, you can vote, and you could be drafted in the military.
Oh, boy, people can't wait to vote.
And obviously, 21's everybody's favorite because you can booze it up if you want to, legally, because, you know, that never happens before you're 21. And after that, there's no special privileges that come until you get to the age where you can get Social Security.
Phoebe was talking about how she dreads 20. And I'm like, don't make me mad. She had a reason. She's like, 21 will be great for the reasons you just said. She said, right now I'm 19. I can pretty much get away with all the stupid stuff I want because I'm a teenager. When you're 20, you're no longer a teenager. You're not 21 where you can go out and legally do stuff. It's just sort of a tweener little age.
Sure. All right. I kind of get that.
Come on. You're 20. Act your age.
From that view, I get it.
Rachel, we have a giveaway?
We do, listeners, right now have a chance to win a Pick Your Ticket pair of tickets from Live Nation. Each winner is going to receive a pair of tickets to one featured show from Live Nation in honor of Concert Week. So Matt's going to take your phone call, guys. You are not going to make this selection right now, but I'm going to let you know the tickets you can pick from. Hootie and the Blowfish, James Taylor, Train and REO Speedwagon, Dierks Bentley, Outlaw Music Festival, and OAR. We're going to take caller number 5, 314-955-1120. Caller number 5, give us a call right now to win a pair of tickets, and you get to pick it yourself.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Those are, like, I was waiting for something like, well, those were all
good. No, these are all great shows.
In the know, on the go. Trust KMOX for local news that impacts St. Louis and the region. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Congratulations to listener Rebecca from St. Louis. She's our winner. We're going to give away some more tickets at 4:30 p.m. Wheels, this is so up your alley. It's always the end of the world-ism. You know, a few hundred years ago, you can't give rights to Catholics or it'll be the end of the world.
Right.
Don't hire Italians. It's the end of the world.
Yeah.
5-day work week. Are you kidding me? This
can't
is the end
have
of the
women
world.
Vote.
Women voting into the world. We have a geomagnetic storm now that's going to shut everything down into the world. Donald Trump gets reelected or doesn't get reelected into the world. Is it you think we're just entertaining ourselves? Are we kind of like children?
I think
paddling on each other.
I think. If I'm being like super serious, not trying to be a smartass, there's a part of human beings that fear is hardwired into us for our survival. And too many people give in to that when they see anything that's a little bit scary. So any change, people don't like change. Anything that's changing is scary to people. And then they invent the worst case. So like when you think of, we talk about this with AI, right? AI up, the machines are going to kill us all. Maybe, or they solve like cancer and they figure out all kinds of other problems that we can't because we don't have the computing power to do what an AI, you know, what do you call it? What's George talk about all the time? The quantum computers with artificial intelligence. So I think it's just that survival fear thing, except that we should be able to park that now that we have so much information at our fingertips.
Do you think we have too much information, Sue?
Well, of course, that would be the internet conversation, right? Everything is out on the internet immediately, and then you can overwhelm yourself if you so choose. And a lot of people do. There is some sort of thing that people like to get afraid, right? They love that. There's some kind of thrill out of that.
Well, you get an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and I think it's gotten way out of control. For me, it makes me nuts. I have to stop it all and step back.
I just always ask myself, how many times have they been right? The people that are doomsdaying.
Not yet.
We're still here. Right. So how many? It's always the next one, though, that's going to be the one. It's always the next one. People have always thought that whatever the latest scandal was going to be, or not scandal, but crisis is going to be, is the big one.
How about this as it applies strictly to elections? This is the most important election. This is for all the marbles. We win or we lose democracy on this. Do you think that people really legitimately could pass a lie detector test on that, most of them?
That they believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it's pounded into your head, right? I mean, and by the way, it's used as a weapon to me by people that are running for office. It's used as a weapon because what are the things that motivate human beings to do things? Well, fear is one of the greatest motivators. So why do we think that it's all been scare tactics for the last 20 or 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe before that, but I don't remember before that. I was a teenager and didn't care. And before that, I wasn't, you know, when you're not alive, you're not alive. But I mean, fear mongering works because your survival instinct is your greatest instinct. And if you're afraid for the future, you're more likely to get out and vote, and you're going to vote for the person that's telling you, only I can save this.
I mean, that's what Hitler did.
It's what every person does. I mean, legitimate and illegitimate like that, right? It's what all of the dictators do. It's what Vladimir Putin did in Russia when he took over after, who was it? I don't remember if it was right after Boris Yeltsin, but it was right after all that, the fall of the Soviet Union. Russia's really struggling, and he comes in, and he's the strong guy, and I'm the one that can fix it, and I'll be the only one that can do it. But it's also done by people that aren't dictators, right? I mean, how many candidates have we heard that from in the last 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's the election of our lifetime. You know, if this guy gets it, it's going to ruin it. I mean, Trump is saying it. Biden's saying it, right? They're both saying that in one form or another.
Do you think it's true this time to some extent? Is that just being hypocritical about the segment we're doing now?
I don't know. I mean, my only answer to that is it hasn't been true so far. It doesn't mean that a terrible thing can't follow, right? It doesn't mean that every claim made by either Joe Biden or Donald Trump is 100% totally false. But it does, when I fall back on history, right, when you're looking at trying to figure out what's going to happen next, usually what happens before is an indicator. Now, there are game changers, there are outliers, but what would you say the odds are? And I'd say the odds of it being the end of America are pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't that why we built in all the checks and balances? Mm-hmm. Isn't that why we have all of these things that, I mean, like using 2020 as the example, everything held, even though it was challenged in some really awful ways with lies and silly stories, but it held. Could we argue that it may not next time? It might not, but it always has to this point. No, it doesn't. By the way, it doesn't mean you don't stay vigilant and make sure that people aren't messing with things that shouldn't be. But I'd say the odds are on in favor of it not being the end of the country or the end of the world, no matter how
he makes
goes.
Me feel better.
Yeah, I understand.
He's comforting,
it's
right?
That, yeah. It's that certainty thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
but
really
I mean,
good.
That's how, but, and if you guys were trying, like, if you're always trying to figure out how does Wheeler's brain work, that's kind of it. It's looking at all the things happening
you're
around.
Kind of Spockish.
A little bit. Yeah. I look better, though. And I have pointy ears.
Man, that's harsh. DGS, happy Friday. Going to give away some tickets from Live Nation at 4:30. Chet Cleveland joins us to give us an update on the Trump trial. Hey, Chet.
Hey, Dave.
So I find this so fascinating. The gag order is in place, as I understand it, because Donald Trump has a very long resume of bullying people, and they don't want him to bully witnesses or affect the jury in any way. And then Stormy Daniels gets off the stand and starts tweeting out, hey, a real man would testify on his own behalf. And now they are claiming that she's bullying him. Like, we're going off the goofy crap meter here.
Yeah, well, let's start, first of all, with gag orders, because I think that there may be a certain misconception about a gag order, particularly based upon what Trump repeatedly talks about after, I think, every day the trial has ended. A gag order is not unconstitutional. A gag order is a constitutional remedy that a court can impose, whether it be a civil case or whether it be a criminal case. Now, Donald Trump, he's not gagged because he is a candidate to become the president of the United States. He is gagged because he is a defendant in a very serious criminal matter. He was indicted by a grand jury. And so that raises, once that occurs, there are certain concepts that come into play. His right and the government's right to a fair trial versus his right to free speech. And certainly he's got the right to free speech. There's no question about that. But what the gag order seeks to do, and the gag order has to be narrow and specific to protect the interests of a fair trial. And so this order that was crafted by this particular judge, similar to the order that was crafted in the fraud case previously, is narrow and specific. It doesn't say that he can't talk about his campaign as the president. It's just that he can't address and disparage witnesses. He can't attack jurors. He can't attack the family of the judge. He can attack if he wants. He can attack the judge. And certainly he's done that repeatedly. And he can attack the prosecutor. Those are all fair games. But you can't let this defendant run wild in the streets and do anything that's going to prejudice the rights of the parties as it relates to the trial. Now, having said all that, I agree with you that she goes out and Stormy Daniels, and she basically makes a bunch of disparaging comments about him. While it's true that his right is to testify, if he wants to testify, he can. At the end of the day, when he doesn't testify, the jury will be given an instruction that no adverse inference can be drawn from his failure to testify. And so the prosecutor cannot, during the course of the trial, make any comment about his failure to testify. If they do, it's an immediate mistrial. So he's protected insofar as his Fifth Amendment constitutional rights are concerned. Now, for her to go out and to say that, I think he's got a complaint. I mean, there's no question about that. But right at the moment, this judge doesn't have any control over Stormy Daniels. Could he have gotten control before? Yes. Could he have imposed a gag order that pertained not only to Trump, but to the various witnesses? Sure. Whether he should have done that probably is a story for another day. And maybe that's something that Trump might want to complain about, but don't say that it's unconstitutional. As far as Cohen is concerned, what the judge has done now is has told the prosecutor, look, you know, this guy, I don't have any control over him. He's not a party to this litigation. And so I want you to go out and curtail his public comments. And you would think that Michael Cohen is a lawyer. He didn't get where he is today, wherever that may be, is by being stupid. And so if he is wants Trump convicted, and Stormy Daniels, if they want Trump convicted and they want him to go to jail for offenses that he committed, and you are a witness for the state, as Michael Cohen is and has yet to testify, why would you ever go out and make public comments that you know that the defense will use against you and repeatedly use against you? You know, you're out there disparaging him. You're out there wearing some T-shirt or something that he needs to go to jail or some kind of craziness. And you hate him that much that you will color your testimony, but in order to make sure that he goes to the penitentiary. So all that is kind of craziness. And, you know, I've been involved with gag orders, and lawyers are gagged in addition to the clients. And I've been involved with those, and I've had clients who have been involved with those. Never, ever have I seen anyone press the envelope like Donald Trump has done for the last several weeks. That's just craziness.
Let me ask you this. I heard a really interesting panel discussion last night on television, and one defense attorney like yourself was making the point that they think that the prosecution screwed up a little bit, that they are overemphasizing the cleanup batter status of Michael Cohen, and that there's nothing that he's going to testify to that hasn't already been established, maybe boringly by, you know, bookkeepers and such, but it's been established by other people. He sort of ties it all together. But they said, get him out of the way in the middle or a little bit earlier so that everything is not banked on this guy who is a complete wild card. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, there's differing opinions as it relates to that. So I suspect that this prosecutor, their opinions were to put him on. You don't want to ever put him on last. That would be a huge mistake because of all the baggage that he has. So you might want to sandwich him in the middle. I doubt that you would ever want to put him on first, because when you put him on first, the jury gets a conception that, oh, wow, you know, this guy is really bad news. And so what follows just has to be cleanup, as opposed to putting it in order and then putting him on. My preference would be to do it the way they're doing it. I think you need to establish all of the information, whether it be text messages, which is what they put on today, or whether it be other live witnesses who will corroborate his credibility, and then put him on not the last witness, but maybe the second or third to last witness, and then let the thing mold. And so now in the closing, you can say, well, this is what we've done. We put him on, and he basically corroborated what everybody else has said. You need to put him on because you need to establish exactly what he did. Whether or not they believe him is a whole different story. And so it could very well come down to their belief that he's telling the truth. I don't think so. I think that there's enough other evidence as it pertains to Pecker, even to Hope Hicks, for example, is a very, very strong witness as far as the prosecution is concerned. And now, apparently, it was interesting that yesterday the prosecutor started talking about and started asking Stormy Daniels about some civil case in which Trump apparently conceded that he had been he had reimbursed Michael Cohen for the money he paid out to Daniels, suggesting that maybe that could be their last witness, because apparently they're going to call Michael Cohen next week, and they're not going to call Karen McDougal, which is also kind of interesting. And then so I looked to see if I could find anything that related to that question that was asked of Stormy Daniels during redirect. And I found an article that suggested that when he was in the White House, Sarah Sanders, who was the press secretary at the time, told reporters that this was the information the president did not know at the time, but eventually learned. And then Giuliani, the esteemed lawyer that represented him once upon a time, he said at that point in time, and this goes back to 2018, that Trump didn't know the specifics of the payment to Daniels, but he did know the general arrangement. That was money that was paid by his lawyer the way I would do out of his law firm funds or whatever funds, doesn't matter. The president reimbursed that over a period of several months. And he further said that that reimbursement occurred earlier than, I think he said, the 2017 or 2018. And that at that point, that it was for a personal matter carried out to protect his family. So that's pretty pretty damaging statements that I'm guessing they may try to introduce. But again, let's say that he did it for personal reasons. He didn't want his wife to find out or whatever. I think that the testimony yesterday of Stormy Daniels established a motive. We learned the last couple of days what the public would have learned had Stormy Daniels been able to do those press conferences prior to the election. And obviously that was a motive to make sure and pay her the $130,000 so that she didn't testify prior to that election. So it could have been certainly that his motive was to make sure my wife doesn't find out, which I doubt, but it could have been. But it also could have been to make sure that the public didn't find out and otherwise interfere with the election. And if that's the case, a lot of people have mixed motives. You can rob a bank, for example, because you don't have any food for your family, or you can rob a bank in addition to that because you want to get a new car. All right. But nonetheless, you're robbing the bank. And so merely because there are mixed motives, if one of those motives is criminal and one of those motives is intended to further a criminal conspiracy with respect to covering why these payments were made so that the campaign finance laws aren't violated and the public doesn't find out, that's sufficient to convict him. So we'll see. I mean,
makes sense. All right, man.
Stay tuned.
Really good segment. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Chet.
Sure. You bet.
I'm Michael Calhoun. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
252 DGS, happy Friday. We're just talking about dogs and cicadas and rabbits and things like that. I have become Dr. Doolittle. I'm not sure why I did this. DGS, happy Friday. Going to give away some tickets from Live Nation at 4:30. Chet Pleben joins us to give us an update on the Trump trial. Hey, Chet.
Hey, Dave.
So I find this so fascinating. The gag order is in place, as I understand it, because Donald Trump has a very long resume of bullying people, and they don't want him to bully witnesses or affect the jury in any way. And then Stormy Daniels gets off the stand and starts tweeting out, hey, a real man would testify on his own behalf. And now they are claiming that she's bullying him. Like, we're going off the goofy crap meter here.
Yeah. Well, let's start, first of all, with gag orders, because I think that there may be a certain misconception about a gag order, particularly based upon what Trump repeatedly talks about after, I think, every day the trial has ended. A gag order is not unconstitutional. A gag order is a constitutional remedy that a court can impose, whether it be a civil case or whether it be a criminal case. Now, Donald Trump, he's not gagged because he is a candidate to become the president of the United States. He is gagged because he is a defendant in a very serious criminal matter. He was indicted by a grand jury. And so that raises, once that occurs, there are certain concepts that come into play. His right and the government's right to a fair trial versus his right to free speech. And certainly he's got the right to free speech. There's no question about that. But what the gag order seeks to do, and the gag order has to be narrow and specific to protect the interests of a fair trial. And so this order that was crafted by this particular judge, similar to the order that was crafted in the fraud case previously, is narrow and specific. It doesn't say that he can't talk about his campaign as the president. It's just that he can't address and disparage witnesses. He can't attack jurors. He can't attack the family of the judge. He can attack if he wants. He can attack the judge. And certainly he's done that repeatedly. And he can attack the prosecutor. Those are all fair games. But you can't let this defendant run wild in the streets and do anything that's going to prejudice the rights of the parties as it relates to the trial. Now, having said all that, I agree with you that she goes out and Stormy Daniels, and she basically makes a bunch of disparaging comments about him. While it's true that his right is to testify, if he wants to testify, he can. At the end of the day, when he doesn't testify, the jury will be given an instruction that no adverse inference can be drawn from his failure to testify. And so the prosecutor cannot, during the course of the trial, make any comment about his failure to testify. If they do, it's an immediate mistrial. So he's protected insofar as his Fifth Amendment constitutional rights are concerned. Now, for her to go out and to say that, I think he's got a complaint. I mean, there's no question about that. But right at the moment, this judge doesn't have any control over Stormy Daniels. Could he have gotten control before? Yes. Could he have imposed a gag order that pertained not only to Trump, but to the various witnesses? Sure. Whether he should have done that probably is a story for another day. And maybe that's something that Trump might want to complain about, but don't say that it's unconstitutional. As far as Cohen is concerned, what the judge has done now is has told the prosecutor, look, you know, this guy, I don't have any control over him. He's not a party to this litigation. And so I want you to go out and curtail his public comments. And you would think that Michael Cohen is a lawyer. He didn't get where he is today, wherever that may be, is by being stupid. And so if he is wants Trump convicted, and Stormy Daniels, if they want Trump convicted and they want him to go to jail for offenses that he committed. And you are a witness for the state, as Michael Cohen is and has yet to testify. Why would you ever go out and make public comments that you know that the defense will use against you and repeatedly use against you? You know, you're out there disparaging him. You're out there wearing some T-shirt or something that he needs to go to jail or some kind of craziness. And you hate him that much that you will color your testimony, but in order to make sure that he goes to the penitentiary. So all that is kind of craziness. And, you know, I've been involved with gag orders, and lawyers are gagged in addition to the clients. And I've been involved with those, and I've had clients who have been involved with those. Never, ever have I seen anyone press the envelope like Donald Trump has done for the last several weeks. That's just craziness.
Let me ask you this.
In that position.
I heard a really interesting panel discussion last night on television, and one defense attorney like yourself was making the point that they think that the prosecution screwed up a little bit, that they are overemphasizing the cleanup batter status of Michael Cohen, and that there's nothing that he's going to testify to that hasn't already been established, maybe boringly by, you know, bookkeepers and such, but it's been established by other people. He sort of ties it all together. But they said, get him out of the way. Get him out of the way in the middle or a little bit earlier so that everything is not banked on this guy who is a complete wild card. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, there's differing opinions as it relates to that. So I suspect that this prosecutor, their opinions were to put him on. You don't want to ever put him on last. That would be a huge mistake because of all the baggage that he has. So you might want to sandwich him in the middle. I doubt that you would ever want to put him on first, because when you put him on first, the jury gets a conception that, oh, wow, you know, this guy is really bad news. And so what follows just has to be cleanup, as opposed to putting it in order and then putting him on. My preference would be to do it the way they're doing it. I think you need to establish all of the information, whether it be text messages, which is what they put on today, or whether it be other live witnesses who will corroborate his credibility, and then put him on not the last witness, but maybe the second or third to last witness, and then let the thing mold. And so now in the closing, you can say, well, this is what we've done. We put him on, and he basically corroborated what everybody else has said. You need to put him on because you need to establish exactly what he did. Whether or not they believe him is a whole different story. And so it could very well come down to their belief that he's telling the truth. I don't think so. I think that there's enough other evidence as it pertains to Pecker, even to Hope Hicks, for example, is a very, very strong witness as far as the prosecution is concerned. And now, apparently it was interesting that yesterday the prosecutor started talking about and started asking Stormy Daniels about some civil case in which Trump apparently conceded that he had reimbursed Michael Cohen for the money he paid out to Daniels, suggesting that maybe that could be their last witness, because apparently they're going to call Michael Cohen next week, and they're not going to call Karen McDougal, which is also kind of interesting. And then so I looked to see if I could find anything that related to that question that was asked of Stormy Daniels during redirect. And I found an article that suggested that when he was in the White House, Sarah Sanders, who was the press secretary at the time, told reporters that this was the information the president did not know at the time, but eventually learned. And then Giuliani, the esteemed lawyer that represented him once upon a time, he said at that point in time, and this goes back to 2018, that Trump didn't know the specifics of the payment to Daniels, but he did know the general arrangement. That was money that was paid by his lawyer the way I would do out of his law firm funds or whatever funds, doesn't matter. The president reimbursed that over a period of several months, and he further said that that reimbursement occurred earlier than, I think he said, the 2017 or 2018, and that at that point that it was for a personal matter carried out to protect his family. So that's pretty pretty damaging statements that I'm guessing they may try to introduce. But again, let's say that he did it for personal reasons. He didn't want his wife to find out or whatever. I think that the testimony yesterday of Stormy Daniels established a motive. We learned the last couple of days what the public would have learned had Stormy Daniels been able to do those press conferences prior to the election. And obviously that was a motive to make sure and pay her the $130,000 so that she didn't testify prior to that election. So it could have been certainly that his motive was to make sure my wife doesn't find out, which I doubt, but it could have been. But it also could have been to make sure that the public didn't find out and otherwise interfere with the election. And if that's the case, a lot of people have mixed motives. You can rob a bank, for example, because you don't have any food for your family, or you can rob a bank in addition to that because you want to get a new car. All right. But nonetheless, you're robbing the bank. And so merely because there are mixed motives, if one of those motives is criminal and one of those motives is intended to further a criminal conspiracy with respect to covering why these payments were made so that the campaign finance laws aren't violated and the public doesn't find out, that's sufficient to convict him. So we'll see.
Makes sense. All right, man. Stay tuned. Really good segment. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Chet.
Sure. You bet.
I'm Michael Calhoun. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
252 DGS, happy Friday. We're just talking about dogs and cicadas and rabbits and things like that. I have become Dr. Doolittle. I'm not sure why I did this. I was at Menards. I had never been to Menards in my life. And the first time I went, I'm like, I don't get it. And now I go every weekend.
And Menards is cool.
I just look for things to buy.
Been in there.
Oh, dude. Go with me.
It's fun. Okay.
You know what I hate about those stores? It means I got to do something.
Oh.
If I'm there, something broke.
Well, I found this feeder corn. Just in big packages, so I bought it, and I started throwing it out there. And
you're throwing feeder corn out in your yard?
I am.
Okay.
And I don't know who's eating it, other than my neighbor Ben I caught once, and I'm like, get your ass on the other side
sure.
of the fence.
Damn it,
sure.
Ben.
But there are rabbits out there all the time now, and they don't move when I walk into the yard.
No.
They just freeze?
They're just like,
it's chill.
I love the
exact
guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's funny because we have a couple in our area. I mean, there's ones, I think we have some that live under our fireplace. And the adult.
That sounds safe.
The adult ones, they don't run when we come out with our dogs or whatever, unless the dogs get close.
Yeah.
And our dogs are slow, so they're not going to catch a rabbit.
Yeah, believe me, mine aren't either. It's not going to happen.
They couldn't catch the corn.
No, they really couldn't. There's no catching of anything.
You think they're going to be on cicada watch?
Mark Reardon has convinced me that they will eat the cicadas. He had a bulldog once, and he said they liked them. They liked to eat the shells. So I am not looking forward to this whole thing. But I have not seen any yet. Have you seen cicadas?
Not one.
Okay.
I haven't seen any either. And then you'll see on like Twitter and stuff, people are like, the cicadas have taken over my yard.
Yes.
But then it'll be like 15 of them.
Oh.
I haven't seen a true infestation yet.
I haven't either.
Say.
Aren't they supposed to be out?
Trillions of them.
Yeah, where are they?
I don't know.
Maybe in the county.
They did say more Illinois.
Did they?
I think.
Huh.
That's why Andrew was freaking out.
I remember the last one because we had to use tennis rackets to get to the car.
Seriously?
Yeah, you had to whack them out of the sky.
Wow.
Mostly, I don't remember in my life whenever they've popped up. I remember hearing them more than seeing them.
Oh, so I guess there are none of... I thought as a kid they were just out every year because the little exoskeleton they leave behind, you'd put it on your shirt and freak girls out and stuff like that. That's the kind of riz I got.
Yeah.
And even back in the day, baby.
No
but
cap.
It seemed like we had them all the time.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I did see somebody who tweeted a whole big bunch of them, and it looked disgusting. But I couldn't tell whether that was in that person's yard
Could
or look
one?
Out, it's coming. I'm not eating that.
I mean, they're evidently just like shrimp.
Whatever. I do not need to eat a cicada.
Look, if I'm taking you to Menards, we're eating cicadas.
I am not eating a cicada.
I don't believe they taste like shrimp.
Who said they taste like shrimp?
Michael Calhoun has this guy at the Butterfly House who's like Mr. Cicada.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Could be Dr. Cicada.
Okay, well now.
And he cooks them in lemon and butter.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's just like an exaggeration. Because if they were that good, everybody would be eating them.
Yes.
Like if they were really like shrimp, you'd be able to buy them at the store for like $9.99 a pound.
It's cicada season. Let's go to Schnucks.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Do you think... Are we really dumb? Like, if the aliens were watching us, would they go, just eat the insects?
Yeah.
You would have famine
probably.
At all.
Yeah. Well, we would. I mean, if you're desperate, I mean, if I was starving, I'd eat. Sure, why not?
Well, yeah. If I'm,
crunchy snack.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not.
But you'll never be starving.
No.
Not you.
No.
Because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, and it's gone.
You bet.
I'm Michael Calhoun. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
252 DGS, happy Friday. We're just talking about dogs and cicadas and rabbits and things like that. I have become Dr. Doolittle. I'm not sure why I did this. I was at Menards. I had never been to Menards in my life. And the first time I went, I'm like, I don't get it. And now I go every weekend.
And Menards is cool.
I just look for things to buy.
Been in there,
oh, dude, go with me.
It's fun.
Okay.
You know what
everything.
I hate about those stores?
Hmm.
It means I got to do something.
Oh.
If I'm there, something broke.
Well, I found this feeder corn just in big packages. So I bought it and I started throwing it out there. And
you're throwing feeder corn out in your yard?
I am.
Okay.
And I don't know who's eating it other than my neighbor Ben I caught once. And I'm like, get your ass on the other side of the fence.
Damn it, Ben.
But there are rabbits out there all the time now and they don't move when I walk into the yard.
No.
They just freeze?
They're just like,
it's chill.
Oh, okay.
It's funny because we have a couple in our area. I mean, there's ones, I think we have some that live under our fireplace and the adult.
That sounds safe.
The adult ones, they don't run when we come out with our dogs or whatever, unless the dogs get close.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And our dogs are slow, so they're not going to catch a rabbit.
Yeah, believe me, mine aren't either. It's not going to happen.
They couldn't catch the corn.
No, they really couldn't. There's no catching of anything.
You think they're going to be on cicada watch?
Mark Reardon has convinced me that they will eat the cicadas. He had a bulldog once, and he said they liked them. They liked to eat the shells. So I am not looking forward to this whole thing. But I have not seen any yet. Have you seen cicadas?
Not one.
Okay.
I haven't seen any either. And then you'll see on like Twitter and stuff, people are like, the cicadas have taken over my yard.
Yes!
But then it'll be like 15 of them.
Oh.
I haven't seen a true infestation yet.
I haven't either. Aren't they supposed to be out?
Trillions of them.
Yeah, where are they?
I don't know.
Maybe in the county.
They did say more Illinois.
Did they?
I think.
Huh.
That's why Andrew was freaking out.
I remember the last one because we had to use tennis rackets to get to the car.
Seriously?
Yeah, you had to whack them out of the sky.
Wow.
Mostly, I don't remember in my life whenever they popped up. I remember hearing them more than seeing them.
Oh, so I guess there are none of... I thought as a kid they were just out every year because the little exoskeleton they leave behind, you'd put it on your shirt and freak girls out and stuff like that. That's the kind of riz I got.
Yeah.
And even back in the day, baby.
No
but
cap.
It seemed like we had them all the time.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I did see somebody who tweeted a whole big bunch of them, and it looked disgusting. But I couldn't tell whether that was in that person's yard
Could
or look
one?
Out, it's coming. I'm not eating that.
I mean, they're evidently just like shrimp.
Whatever. I do not need to eat a cicada.
Look, if I'm taking you to Menards, we're eating cicadas.
I am not eating a cicada.
I don't believe they taste like shrimp.
Who said they taste like shrimp?
Michael Calhoun has this guy at the Butterfly House who's like Mr. Cicada.
Oh, okay.
Could be Dr. Cicada.
Okay, well now.
And
that's...
he cooks them in lemon and butter.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's just like an exaggeration. Because if they were that good, everybody would be eating them.
Yes.
Like if they were really like shrimp, you'd be able to buy them at the store for like $9.99 a pound.
It's cicada season. Let's go to Schnucks.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Do you think... Are we really dumb? Like, if the aliens were watching us, would they go, just eat the insects?
Yeah.
You would have famine
probably.
At all.
Yeah. Well, we would. I mean, if you're desperate, if I was starving, I'd eat. Sure, why not?
Well, yeah. If I'm,
crunchy snack.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not.
But you'll never be starving.
No.
Not you.
No. Because you know it don't matter anyway.